Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are very happy to have on the phone with us today the Deputy Director of Social Services with Dakota County, Gil Acevedo. Am I saying it right, Gil?
Acevedo.
We are happy to have on the phone with us Gil Acevedo, and he is here to tell us about some testing that's going on for vulnerable adults within the county, and we're just thrilled that you could call in today. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mo. Thank you very much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Well, Gil, I want to learn more about the social services part of Dakota County. So would you be so kind as to give our listeners an overview?
So social services, Dakota County, and really all the counties across state, what we do is we provide services for a variety of services for people that need assistance. So in my area, where I'm the Deputy Director for Community Living Services and Social Services, we provide services to individuals with disabilities and or adult services, so meaning senior services. So all of the individuals that live in assisted living, nursing homes, and or are 65 years of age and older, or any individual in the county that has a disability as well. Social services also provide housing assistance. We also provide adult services for adults needing assistance with mental health services and things of that nature.
So this is something that is done on a county level, but do you break it down then for each individual city?
We do. It is at a county level. And so all of our services, we have case managers that assist individuals. So if you're in Dakota County, regardless of where you are in the county, Dakota County can provide those services for you. And so we have case managers, but we also have individuals that work with initial assessment, meaning bringing someone on, meaning those particular types of services. And we also work very closely with the state Department of Human Services and the Department of Health as well.
So before COVID-19 was really in the news, what was one of the biggest issues facing vulnerable adults?
Well, one of the things that we find, especially with individuals with disability, employment services, being able to have a life where they can live and work in communities and being able to map their skills and train them so that they can work independently or as work with individuals that can assist them with that as well. We also work with seniors, making sure that all seniors have proper services available to them, like ensuring that they have food, shelter, and that we are assisting them with connecting them with like assisted living or nursing home services. And it's really based on what's known as social determinants of health. We want to make sure that they're thriving in the community and that they are enjoying life like anyone else in the community.
And where do you get your referrals for this, please?
A lot of times most of the referrals come from family members. We will have an individual with disability needing connection to services, either needing assistance with technology or assistance with having someone provide day programming for them or employment services. So we have referrals come from family members. Sometimes they come from their primary care providers. When someone is getting to a certain age or maybe experiencing some difficulties with living alone, their primary care provider will recommend that they contact the county to connect them to services. And then there are other times where it would be like the Department of Human Services, when someone is reaching out and trying to connect their loved one to services, they'll reach out to the state, and then the state will tell them, you live in Dakota County, you should contact Dakota County.
So some of the people that you have come in contact with recently, did the need to maybe help out with COVID-19 and do some testing, did that come out of your other services, or how did this initiative come about, please?
So it does. Thank you, Mo, for the question. Because one of the things that we do in social services is that we partner with other departments within Dakota County. And so we were partnering with our public health department. We have a really robust and strong public health department here in Dakota County. And as a local public health, they were working with the Minnesota Department of Health as they were starting to see, the Minnesota Department of Health started to see the numbers of individuals in what's known as long-term care more congregate care setting, starting to develop the COVID-19 virus. And on top of that, we were starting to see a disproportionate number of individuals that live in congregate care settings and long-term care settings that were actually dying because of the virus. So in that work with the Department of Health and our public health, we started working with our public health. We in social services have a connection with a number of these congregate care settings with individuals that live there. And since we provide them the services, we started also noticing the number of positives that were starting to develop in these various homes. So it would be either a group home, an assisted living, or a nursing home. As an example.
So this is something that I know you really have made it a priority. And was Dakota County one of the first ones to say that they wanted to have a focus on testing vulnerable residents? Or did this come from a state initiative? Where did this come from, please?
So this initiative really came from within Dakota County. The Board of Commissioners here in Dakota County really made it a priority to ensure that the health of vulnerable adults, vulnerable residents, in particular, were protected. And with COVID-19, and as we started to see that increased number of positive cases in our congregate settings and in our assisted living, maybe I can pause for a second and take a step back as I answer this question and add a little clarity. So when I say long-term care, generally we define long-term care as nursing home and assisted living. And then when we talk about congregate care settings, we're talking about all of those other types of congregate care or living settings, such as group home, adult foster care, corporate foster care that we have throughout the county as well. And what we started to see is the number increasing in these areas. So as an example, we in Dakota County as a whole, we have the total number of cases of people, number of cases that we saw of COVID-19 in congregate care settings was 253. But what we're seeing is 76 are deaths in those areas. But if we look out further in Dakota County, over 3,000 cases of COVID-19 that we have, and there are 100 deaths. So if you take that 100 deaths and compare it to the 76 deaths that we're seeing in congregate care and or long-term care, we have a 76% death rate in these areas. So we felt that we needed to do something to really enhance and look at the way we do our testing at these sites for our congregate care settings and our assisted living and nursing homes. I know that was a priority for the state. Unfortunately, they have the whole state to look at. And so what we wanted to do is really address those in our county and make that a priority. So it's a more robust program. It's actually a very comprehensive program that we put together here at the county. And we're the first county, to our knowledge, based on our conversations with the state and conversations with other counties, that have taken such a comprehensive approach in testing at all of our sites here in the county.
So when you say all of our sites, are you talking about privately held sites as well?
Right. So we, when I say all of our sites, that includes the nursing homes that are either nonprofit or for-profit, all of our sites in assisted living in the state, in the county as well. So I can give you some numbers just for comparison. So in the county of Dakota County, we have 10 nursing. We have 150 assisted living. And then we have 380 congregate care sites that are different from nursing homes and assisted living. And those would be like corporate foster care, family adult foster care, as an example, and group homes. So whether they're private or whether they are a nonprofit, it really, at this point, the Board of Commissioners felt that we wanted to remove any barrier for testing and make this available to any one of our residents in the county that live in the particular site.
So how does it work, please?
So what we do, one of the things that we did when we first started developing the concept around this, we wanted to make sure that we had a partner in this that had a connection to a laboratory. So we felt that having a healthcare provider, like a clinic or a health system that had availability to to partner with us. So we sent out surveys to a number of clinics and health systems within Dakota County, but across other areas within the metro as well. And we were trying to see if there was any interest in someone partnering with us with this concept. We did meet with a few and found that although they had interest, they didn't have the capacity, didn't have the staff to be able to go out and do the testing. But we came across Bluestone Physician Services, and they met with us, and they were very interested in the work that we were doing. Bluestone is located in Stillwater. And so as we started talking with them, we expressed that what we wanted to do was rapid testing. We also wanted to do no barriers to testing, meaning we want to eliminate any barriers. If someone says they don't have insurance, or they can't do the testing because my facility won't pay for it or something like that, we want to eliminate all of that. And then we also wanted to have them have a connection with a laboratory so that we can do the testing, get the results back quickly, and then put in training and educational components to this as well. So the third piece of that was really doing the education around infection control, how to wear personal protective equipment, and those types of measures. So as we started talking more with Bluestone, they were excited about the possibility. We presented it to the board, and we started our partnership with Bluestone after the board approved it on June 30th. So the way we set this up as a process, Bluestone and Dakota County, we meet weekly, and we establish a priority for site based on their interest in being tested. The second piece is, do they have a positive case, whether it's a resident or a staff, at their location? And then what we do is Bluestone then comes in, since they are a clinic, they bring in their clinical staff, and they provide a educational component, but they also do what's known as like a urgent care clinic. They just want to get an idea of the clientele that are in there, the residents that are in there, and then they do a testing. And the testing is done through swabs, then it's sent to a laboratory. Then when the results come back, to Bluestone, to the facility, as well as the Department of Health, and then Bluestone communicates with us those results as well. We keep the board informed of the updates as we start the process, and we've started the process now, so we're starting to slowly develop this. An important piece to that process that I just described, the interest that the facility has to do the testing. We cannot mandate or force anyone to be tested, so we have to contact the leadership of those sites, let them know that this is available to them. We have removed any potential barriers so that there was really no reason why they couldn't be tested, and then we offer up the testing and the education to go there.
So, Gil, you're getting a snapshot in time, obviously, of the people you're testing. Do you ever then go back and test again?
Right. That's a great question around the follow-up, because we do a follow-up. The guidance that we've received from the Minnesota Department of Health and CDC is that we do three sets of tests per site. So we contact the site, we do the initial test, and then 2 weeks later, we come back and do a second round, a second test, and then 2 weeks later we come back and do another test. So at the end of the day, we end up doing three series of tests for these individual sites, and that gives them a pretty good understanding their testing and whether they have the virus in their facility. One of the concerns that a number of places have has to do with asymptomatic testing positive. So asymptomatic positive, meaning that a person may not have any symptoms, but they still have the virus. And when we do the testing, we have a really good chance of identifying those asymptomatic positive, because a person is continuing to work but was not aware that they were positive. So then there's a way to mitigate that by having them isolate and removing them from potentially spreading to other areas and other individuals.
So these tests are obviously done on site with the residents. What if the resident says no?
And that's entirely fine. As far as the resident, they have the right to refuse a test. The intent was not to force anyone to do anything. We wanted to make it available, and so that one of the things we were hearing early on was that there was a shortage of testing, where the scheduling for the National Guard that the state was using, they were having to set up a schedule, and the schedule sometimes was 2-3 weeks out. And so we wanted to help with that process. So if an individual says that they're not interested, they do not want to be tested, we're not going to force them to be tested. That's entirely up to that facility and the leadership of that facility.
Gil, it sure sounds like it's a great, great program, and I'm sure you're finding some interesting results.
We are. It's a little early yet. The way we set this up initially, we sent out a survey with some questions around the number of staff, the number of residents. What's really unique in congregate care setting and long-term care in general is that some of the staff work in multiple sites, so they can work in one location and then work in another location. So if you have a person that is asymptomatic, positive, working in one location, but then goes to another location, the potential for that spread is pretty good. So we want to be able to identify and give real-time testing information to individuals. Now, we can only do so much with the testing because although a person may test negative today, it's possible a few days later, if they have contact with someone else, they may end up test positive. So what we can do with this program is just open up the awareness. And the biggest component of this program is the testing, but it's also the education. We want to make sure that infection control, proper hand washing, proper use of protective equipment, all of those pieces are tied into the whole process. And one piece that we're adding to it now is also the mental health component. We're finding that as individuals are isolating during the COVID-19 pandemic here that we're in, we're starting to see loneliness. Individuals are starting to have signs of being anxious. So we want to connect another piece to this program that we're doing for our county residents that also attaches a mental health component.
It's good information and really a great program. Gil, thank you so much for explaining it to us. We want to thank our guest, Gil Acevedo. He is with Dakota County. He's their Deputy Director of Social Services. If somebody would like follow-up on this, Gil, what's a good phone number they could call?
They can call 651-554-6007.
And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.